Talk Shoes. Recorded live.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to look at 2 Peter tonight, chapter 2 and verse 3. I want to do a couple of things while you're getting that. I want to look at a few things tonight. We're going to discuss what nomadics is. I know that some of us are streaming through the internet tonight, and some of us are on the phone, so we will, you know, as best we can, if you want to type in an answer or whatever, you can, and then I'll read it out loud for those who cannot see what it is that you are typing. But it's important to understand how the Spirit of God operates so that we can stay on track. And really, that's really what pneumatics is. Pneumatics is having an understanding of the operation of the Spirit of God as it relates to the New Testament church. And it's just a technical term, you know, so we shouldn't get scared to say, oh my God, what is that? You know, but it's just a technical term that explains how God operates by His Spirit through the church. And so if we're unfamiliar with God and how He deals with us and how He does things, then it'll be hard for us to adjust when God is moving in the midst of us, because we won't recognize it as God. Okay? We have to understand that, you know, that God has His own way of doing things. And, you know, His way of doing things is not our way of doing things. And so we have to learn how to operate in God the way that He runs things, you know, and the way that God does things in the Spirit. And so really, pneumatics is just that, like I said, that technical term that explains, you know, the way that the Spirit of God operates through the church. Amen. And here's the thing. If you don't understand that, then you'll begin to follow another spirit. Okay? This is how come people are deceived. You know, they'll begin following, amen, another spirit, because they don't understand how God operates and how the Spirit of God operates in the body. And because they don't understand that, they end up following other spirits, and then they say that it's God. And then, you know, they want to say, oh, you know, I'm being led by the Spirit. You're being led by a spirit, but not the Spirit of God. And so this is what we want to avoid, especially with folks who are, you know, prophetic people, apostolic people. You know, we walk in, amen, and revelation and understanding, you know, the power of the fivefold ministry and the necessity of the fivefold ministry in our midst. And so we want to be able to not be mixed up with a bunch of crazy stuff, but truly, truly follow in the Spirit of God. Amen. And follow the things of God. All right. Now, did anybody else have anything that they wanted to add about that, or any questions that you wanted to ask about pneumatics or whatever before we get going into tonight's lesson? No? Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. We're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Tonight, we're going to be talking about boot camp, okay? Boot camp, amen. Anybody who has any idea what boot camp is, you know, this is a place of training. It's a place of learning to endure. And it's essential that the people of God be taught how to endure. And not just how to endure, but how to suffer, okay? Because when we have people who are, you know, coming to the Lord or whatever, and they're beginning to walk in the things of God, the one thing that I'm finding out that people have a hard time doing is suffering and enduring. That seems to be a hard thing for the saints to do, you know what I'm saying, as it relates to walking with God. And I'm not understanding that, you know, because Jesus said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Well, Paul said it, but he said it by the Spirit of God. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. And so we got to understand that There is a place that we have to be taught how to suffer. We have to be taught how to endure so that when we begin to go through trials and we begin to go through difficulties, we don't throw in the towel. Amen? And if you're going to do ministry, you have to understand that ministry is not what we have seen projected on television through these Hollywood preachers. Ministry is not this glamorous life. Ministry, amen, is a place of hardness. It's a place of loneliness. Amen. Yes, there are great times in ministry. Yes, there are times when we form great fellowships and we meet wonderful people and God does great things in our midst. But at the same time, ministry is a place of suffering. And if people don't know how to endure suffering, when it's time for them to suffer, then they're not going to know how to go through right. Amen? Because you can go through something, but if you don't go through right, you know what I'm saying, then that's going to be a problem. You're going to have difficulties receiving what God has for you if you don't know how to endure. And this is, it's important that we start, you know, laying a foundation about how to endure and what endurance is, and being able to give that to the people of God, because you don't just have to endure hardness, but you have to endure training. Because sometimes during training, you know, there are things that will be said to you that you may not necessarily agree with or like. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes while you're going through training, there will be things said that make you angry. There will be things said that you get mad at whoever it is that's training you. Amen. There'll be times where you will feel like, you know, what is all of this for? I just don't see the need. You know, I don't see any change coming. I don't see God doing anything. So, you know, I might as well just say forget about it. And this is why we have to lay the foundation, amen, and start talking about enduring. Amen. So let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm in the wrong book. I'm excited. I'm looking at other scriptures. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 2, amen, and verse 3. 2 Timothy 2 and 3. And it says, let no man deceive you. Excuse me, I'm in Thessalonians. See, I told you I was excited. Hallelujah. I'm in the wrong book. All right, 2 Timothy 2 and 3. It says, now therefore endure hardness as a, what kind of soldier?
Good
soldier of Jesus Christ. A good soldier, amen, will be able to endure hardness. You cannot say that you are a good soldier and you can't endure nothing. You can't go through nothing. You can't take nothing. You don't want nobody correcting you. You don't want nobody telling you what to do. Amen. You always got all the answers. Praise God. But if you, amen, are going to be a soldier. Now, notice here that Paul is giving Timothy, amen, he's talking to Timothy about enduring as a good soldier. Whereas all throughout the scripture, it talks about us being servants. It talks about us being ambassadors. It talks about us being sons. And now he's talking about being a soldier, amen, which means that there is a place, amen, where we have to learn how to deal with something, amen, because you can be a son but don't have a soldier mentality, amen. The world has a saying, you know, and they talk about cowboy up, meaning get yourself together, have some, you know, have some strength about you, do what you got to do. Amen. And unfortunately, the church has lost its mentality as soldiers. We want God to do everything for us right now. We want it done. Matter of fact, we don't want it done right now. We want it done yesterday. That's how bad we want it. But there's no endurance in us. And Paul says in this verse, thou therefore endure. Amen. This means the ability to withstand hardship or stress. Amen. You want to be called of God, but can you endure hardship and stress? Can you put up with the things that God is going to cause you to have to put up with in order for you to carry the mantle that he has placed upon your life?
amen, it's going to take something, amen, take going through something in order for you to walk in the fullness of your calling. Yes, amen, God has anointed us, he's called us, amen, and amen, he has given us his spirit, but you know, the anointing, amen, that he has placed upon our life, amen, we know that that is, amen, because of the grace that he has extended to us, but I'm going to tell you, in order for you to experience, amen, another level of God's anointing in your life, you must endure hardness. As a good soldier, amen, a good soldier understands that there are some things that just come with the territory, amen. You can't get out in the middle of a battlefield and say, oh my God, why is this war going on? Well, this is what a soldier is for. A soldier is made for war, amen. A soldier, amen, is not made just so that he can collect a paycheck and say that he works for government. And just to say he's a soldier, amen, but a soldier has a function, amen. And as people of God, and as soldiers, amen, and as fivefold gifts to the body, we must learn, amen. We're not going to say cowboy up, we're going to say soldier up, amen, and endure hardness, amen. Be able to have fortitude, amen. Endurance is also fortitude. Amen. That means that even if you're going through a circumstance or a situation and you don't know how long, amen, that this test is going to last, how much you're going to have to put up with, you still say in your heart that I'm going to endure, amen, as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And this is why people backslide. And I'm going to tell you, you have people who get in ministry, and because ministry is not everything that they thought it was going to be, they quit. They give up. Amen. Because sometimes they realize, well, this is just too much, you know, dealing with people and getting my feelings hurt, getting told off by folks and dealing with other people's issues and all the rest of that stuff. I don't want to have to be bothered with that. Listen, you're going to have to learn how to endure. Endurance is important because in the end, amen, this is going to be your deciding factor between victory and defeat. Amen. Whether or not you can endure is going to say whether or not you're going to actually walk in victory. Amen. We know that the Bible tells us that we are already victorious and we fight from the vantage point of being victorious. We already know that we are winners already. But if you don't endure, you don't obtain victory. You got to hold on to the end. In order for us to possess the victory, you got to see it first in the spirit, and then you got to keep pressing and keep maintaining your ground until manifestation comes. And that seems to be the hard thing for us. We want manifestation, but we don't want to have to wait on it. Amen. And so we got to come against the spirit of impatience. Help us, Jesus. We got to come against impatience because sometimes we want what we want when we want it. We want it right away. Amen. We don't want to wait on God. We don't want to have to endure any hardness. We don't want to have to endure any struggle. Amen. But this is what you got to understand. This place, amen, of boot camp, this place of training, this place, amen, of learning to endure, amen, this is where you're going to find out if your purpose that God is putting you, this is where we're going to see. Not just me, not you're not just going to be able to see, but even those that are around you are going to be able to see if you're going to be able to birth what God has given you or if you're going to abort what he has placed in you. This is where that decision is made. Right here. Before, amen, before all the open doors come, before, amen, people fall in love with your ministry, you got to learn to endure. And even after people fall in love with what God has given you, you still have to be able to endure. Amen. So let's look now. Somebody get Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3, and then somebody else. Get 1 Peter 1 and 13. Endurance. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. And 1 Peter 1 and 13. Amen. Who's got it?
Hebrews 12:1-3.
Uh-huh.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on 1 second. I'm sorry. Notice that the verse is saying run, but do it with what? Patience. Amen. You got to understand that everything is not going to come to you overnight. You can run this race, but it's going to take patience. Amen. And I like to say that patience and endurance are synonyms. Amen. Because patience, amen, is the habit of waiting on God.
Yes.
Patience is the habit of enduring. Amen. Patience is the habit of learning how to be still when you really want to get up and do something else.
Amen.
Patience is being able to wait on God,
mm-hmm.
hold your peace, when you much rather make something happen and tell folks off.
Jesus.
Amen. And there will be times with our anointed selves that we will feel like telling people off.
Oh, my God.
But patience. Somebody say patience. Patience is the habit. It's got to be a habit. You can't just practice one time and say, okay, I was patient yesterday. Now I know I possess patience. No, patience is a habit that is practiced on a regular basis. It's got to be a habit. It's got to be a habit. It's a habit of enduring. It's a habit of waiting. Amen. Go ahead. Finish reading that verse, those verses.
Second verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of all faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Verse 3.
For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind.
Now look at this word. Look at this word. Endure, and just in these couple of verses, is used twice. He says in verse 2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You got to understand what is set before you. You got to remember, amen, that it's not just about this test. This boot camp that God has you in right now is about training and perfecting and molding and maturing you so that you can be and do what he's called you to be and do. We haven't even tapped, amen, the realm of what he has really, really called us to do. Some of us are just dripping out of the faucet. We haven't even gotten to the place of flowing in the things of God. But we got to learn how to endure. It says, Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. He didn't care about the shame. He didn't care about the fact that everybody was going to see him, amen, be made a spectacle of openly, because he knew that, amen, what God was going to do, amen, he knew what was set before him, and the only thing he had his mind set on was that prize that was set before him. Amen. Verse 3 says, for consider him. The Bible is telling us, look at what Jesus did. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Amen. And whenever we find that the scripture is telling us, amen, something like that, is because God knows that we're going to face situations that's going to cause us to feel weary. Ministry at times will cause you to feel weary. Amen. Because you will experience times where things are not producing like you say that, you know, that you feel that they should. There'll be times where you know that God has spoken something to you, and it seems like forever before that thing is coming to pass. But you got to be able to endure and wait on God. Be patient. Have the habit of waiting on God. The habit of, amen, standing your ground until manifestation time comes. Because manifestation is going to come. Amen. We don't know when, but we know it's coming. And that's what we got to always keep in mind. Amen. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Who's got that? 1 Peter 1 and 13.
I do.
Go ahead.
It says, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end. for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Gird up your loins and pull yourself together. Amen. Amen. You got to have a certain mentality if you're going to be a soldier. Amen. You can't walk around here talking about, woe is me, today you got it together, 5 minutes later, we don't know. You got to gird up your loins, pull your mind together. Amen. Because that's the place of battle right there. Amen. Before anybody backslides, it takes place in their mind. Before we give up on God, it takes place in our mind. We start going through in our mind. You got to gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. Don't be drunk with the cares of this life. Don't be drunk, amen, with all the things that God has said he's going to do in your life. Don't be drunk, amen, with the troubles of this life. Amen, letting things take your focus. Amen, and keep you from being able to see God and see the things of God in your life. Amen. You got to be sober in your mind and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And this is not just when Jesus comes. Amen. But it's talking about having a revelation. Amen. There is a place of revelation that when you have a revelation of Jesus, amen, concerning your situation, that nothing can move you when you can see Christ in your circumstances. If you can see Christ, amen. That's what boot camp is about. Amen. It's about being able to, amen, endure the training. Endure the training. Amen. It's wonderful for us to be called apostle. And it's wonderful for us to be called prophet and evangelist and pastor. But what have you endured? Amen. You can't have, amen, a wimpy mentality and then expect the power of God to flow through you. That's just not going to happen. You got to remember that this is the place that decides whether or not I'm victorious or I'm defeated. This is the place, amen, where, amen, the gifts and the things that God has imparted to me are going to be born or they're going to be aborted. In this place, amen. And this word, amen, endure, is from the Greek word hupomone, which means to cheerfully endure with an attitude of hope. Amen. When you look at verse 13 here in this verse in 1 Peter, it says, amen, hope to the end. Amen. It means that you're going to go through, amen, and not be hopeless. Amen. That's what happens to people when they are depressed. It means that they have lost hope. Amen. And we cannot be, amen, people of God, walking with God and don't have any hope. What can we offer others if we don't have any hope? We got to be able to offer hope to other people. And if we are so caught up, amen, in our circumstances and so drunk with our trials, amen, and so drunk, amen, and our focus is shifted off of the things of God because we're going through and we don't have any hope ourselves, how can we give hope to somebody else? This word is the same as patience, to stay under, to have fortitude. Endurance is a mindset. It's a state of mind. You can't say I'm enduring, amen, and then, you know, you're showing physically, you know, on the outside it looks like you're enduring, but inside you have given up. Amen. Endurance is a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
It's the act of staying under. It's hurdling over the common attacks while you're engaged in boot camp, such as depression, resentment, bitterness, discouragement, and hopelessness. These are things that we face in ministry. There are times where you feel like, okay, I'm just tired. There's times that people will do things to you, and you're going to have to learn to walk in forgiveness. You can't walk in bitterness. Amen. You can't walk in resentment, resenting people, and resenting, amen, that God have allowed certain ones to be in your life, amen, and to, you know, to do the things that they have done. You got to understand that all these things, amen, like it says in Romans, they are working together for the good to them that love God and to those who are the called according to his purpose. Not just, you know, sometimes we quote that verse and say all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who call, who are called. No, it's not just those who are called, but the called. Amen. You can be called, but what are you called to? Amen. So you got to understand that you're going to face things. Amen. As God prepares you, amen, and as you are walking, amen, this walk with Christ and you're on this journey with the Lord, you are going to face circumstances and situations, and you have got to be able to, amen, to bear up underneath those, the pressure of those things without giving up, without throwing in the towel. And that's hard sometimes. Amen. Think back on some things that you've been through. Amen. And some of us, amen, it's just been this week where we felt like, you know what? Forget all this. Amen. And so you got to understand that you have an eternal purpose, and you got to focus on that eternal purpose. Amen. And we talked about, amen, having an eternal viewpoint. Amen. When we first got started with class, you got to remember, amen, that it's not about what you see in the natural. Amen. You have got to have an eternal focus. You got to be able to see into eternity, into the realm of the spirit, and know that this too shall pass, and this thing that I'm enduring, amen, God is going to get the glory out of it, and he's doing something, he's making something out of me, amen. Even as Paul said, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall be as he is. So we don't know what all God is making while he's transforming us and he's allowing us to go through these things. But one thing we do know, he's making us like him. Hallelujah. So we have consolation because he is transforming us into his image. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So this is where you learn how to use your weapons. This is where you learn, amen, the effectiveness of prayer and fasting and seeking God. This is where you learn, amen, how to appropriate the word of God, amen, and be effective, amen. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. And somebody else, in Hebrews 5 and 14. 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. Amen. Go ahead. Who's got it?
And get all drink the same spiritual drink. Oh, you said 2 Corinthians.
2 Corinthians 10 and 4.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise.
Corinthians.
What'd you say? I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 10 and 4.
For the weapons of our warfare are not common, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Amen. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Amen. This means, amen, because we have hope, and we got to remind ourselves of this, amen, that when we are going through the things that we're going through, amen, even if in our flesh, we want to retaliate. We got to remember, amen, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Amen. We don't have to use worldly means to try to prove a point. Amen. We don't have to, amen, do the things that the world does and react the way that the world does. Amen. Hebrews 5 and 14. Amen. Did anybody get that?
I'll get it.
Amen. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Amen. It's too many leaders that are operating in carnality. And the whole purpose, amen, of this training, amen, is to burn carnality out of us, amen, so that we can kill that chief for once and for all.
Oh.
Amen, because that is a chief. That is a chief spirit, amen. That spirit of carnality keeps us from operating in the things of God. It keeps us from being able to see into the spirit realm, amen. It keeps us from being able to handle things correctly. We got to kill that spirit of carnality. Hallelujah. Amen. Hebrews 5 and 14.
But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even though.
No. Hebrew. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was looking in the wrong place. Go ahead.
Okay. Start all over again.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. To discern both good and evil.
Okay. So, and I believe we talked about this verse before. Amen. This verse is talking about, okay, is strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Amen. Or in other words, those who are mature. Amen. Those who by reason of use or who have experience. Okay, who have often used their senses to exercise both good and evil. In other words, amen, you can't expect to handle the deep things of God and you haven't been practicing and using the things that God has already given you. Okay? And you want strong meat, but in order for God to give you that strong meat, you got to first handle, amen, what he's already put on your plate. Everybody wants to walk in the deep things, amen, but you got to understand, in order for you to be able to handle strong meat, the only way you're going to be able to get that strong meat, amen, is that you got to understand, you got to be able to exercise the gifts that God has put in you and be able to discern good and evil because of what he's already put in you. You already sharpened your gifts. That's what this scripture is talking about, being sharp in the spirit, being able to know how to use what God has given you. Amen. This is not a carnal Christian. Amen. Carnal Christians are not, amen, well-versed in the things of God. Carnal Christians do not know, amen, do not receive strong meat. Amen. Carnal Christians are not of full age, amen, or perfect or mature. Amen. You gotta grow up in God. We gotta stop wanting to be pacified and babied so much. We gotta stop, amen, wanting everybody to just, you know, pet us and stroke us all the time. This is a place of growing up. That's what boot camp will do to you. Amen. Amen. A lot of people go into the army. You watch some of the army commercials and it talks about, amen, how, you know, people leave, amen, and join the army. They talk about how he left a boy and came back a man, because boot camp will do that to you. Having to learn how to make decisions, amen, will grow you up. Amen. It doesn't mean that you're going to do everything right. It doesn't mean, amen, that because you are mature that you make all the right decisions all the time. Amen. Amen. Without a doubt, this is a place where you will make mistakes. But you know what? That's all right for you to make a mistake. Amen. But it takes maturity to admit that you've made a mistake and pick yourself up and keep moving. Amen.
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 Hello?
Amen. You don't have to wallow. You don't have to wallow, amen, in an error or in your mistake.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. So to remain and to be effective, you must grow, you must forgive yourself, and you got to learn how to forgive others while you're going through this course in your spiritual walk. Amen. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. This is not an easy place. Amen. And one of the things that, you know, that is a burden, amen, on my heart, amen, and as the Lord began to birth, amen, this school of prophets, one of the things that was in my spirit is that I was just so grieved by seeing so many kooky folks who haven't gone through no training. Folks, amen, they call themselves apostles and prophets, amen, ain't never been trained by nobody.
Amen.
I have never sat down and, amen, nobody have you know, trained them and imparted into them and fathered them or mothered them.
Amen.
But they're running all over the place. This is crazy. Amen. And folks, amen, validating them tomorrow. This is prophet so-and-so. This is apostle so-and-so. Listen, where I come from, if you look like a duck and quack like a duck, you's a duck. Well, as we say, you a quack. And I'm so tired of seeing quacks in the pulpit.
Amen.
Amen. You call, a doctor who doesn't practice properly, amen, is a quack.
Amen. Amen.
And so we got to get to the place, amen, where we have accountability in the body of Christ and we demand righteousness because that's what God demands of us. And so we should not accept anything less from one another as believers. If
amen.
We are brethren, then we got to hold each other, amen, to, amen, a level of accountability where we look, amen, for nothing else but righteousness from one another. Amen?
Yes.
It's only right. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thanks.
1 Corinthians chapter 10. Hey, I'm sorry. Go ahead. What you say, Apostle?
I'm just praying with
you. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. I love this verse. I love this verse. Hallelujah. Amen. Verse 12.
I think if he standeth, take heed lest he fall.
Amen. That's as plain as the noses on our faces. Amen. In this verse, Paul is speaking to us. Amen. And he is really, what he's saying to us through this short verse is that you and I must have an accurate and a true measure of ourselves. You must have a true and accurate measure of yourself. Don't let people pump you up and blow your head up and fill you full of hot air and make you think that you're something that you're not. Amen. And even if you do know what God has called you to be, amen, there should be a level of true humility accompanied with that calling upon your life. Amen. And this verse is saying that he that think he stand, take heed to himself, lest he fall. Amen. Take heed to yourself. Amen. You got to be honest about where you are and where you're not. Amen. You got to remember that it is God that is making you. Okay, and you got to be honest with yourself if you are going to walk in true deliverance and be God's vessel. You got to be honest. Amen. You got to have, amen, an inner, you know, some inner checkpoints on the inside and something that you adhere to on the inside. You got to listen to the Holy Spirit as he speaks to you, as he tells you, be quiet, go pray, talking too much. Learn how to listen. Sit still. Sit down. Amen. We got to learn how to listen. Why is it that somebody, amen, has to come and tell us to do things that we say we have the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit should be telling us to do these things. And it's just we have become a people out of control. We don't even get, because we talk about, well, I don't want to be under this ministry because this ministry controls me and that ministry, you know, they controlling. But let me say this here. You don't even listen to the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit is trying to control your life. I know you're not going to listen to no pastor. And we have people out here every day calling themselves apostles and prophets and pastors. Amen. Not submitted to anybody, not even to the Spirit of God, out of control, because they're not taking heed to themselves. Take heed to yourself. Look at yourself. Have an accurate and a true measure of yourself, lest you fall. Okay? Satan's greatest weapons against the people of God are all those areas of our lives that we have not surrendered to the Lordship of Christ, or we feel that these places are our greatest strength. But in actuality, these things become our greatest weakness. Take heed to yourself. Not always having to, you know, it's good for us to have mentoring. Amen. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But also we have to look, amen, inwardly and learn how to listen to God when he is speaking to us. Instead of always having to have somebody come and tell you stuff, we are mature supposedly. Amen. We just finished reading that verse, amen, in Hebrews about having our gifts sharpened, amen, because of use. We can discern good and evil. But can we discern good and evil in ourselves? Can we discern on our own intentions and be honest about them? Are we so busy, I mean, are we so busy wanting, amen, the acclaim of people and wanting to be, amen, accepted by folks, amen, and wanting, amen, applause that we don't really take heed to ourselves? Don't let nobody put you up on no pedestal. Don't let nobody lie to you. And don't lie to yourself. Amen. And this is not, amen, this is not meant to be a teaching tonight that just like, you know, well, why she sound like she hollering at us tonight? Amen. I told y'all, amen, we dealt with all of the, you know, lovely things in the first couple of weeks. Amen. Now we're getting down to the nuts and the bolts. We got to deal with ourselves in these next few weeks. It's going to be all about looking at ourselves and being honest and going back to God and saying, God, you know what? I really thought I had some things together, and God, I got to get this right. Because when we're talking about leading God's people, we cannot stand up having no shabby life. You cannot live any kind of way and then still say that you're God's leader. We got to have some inward checkpoints that we listen to, amen, and obey. Amen. We got to listen to the Holy Spirit. We got to learn, amen, to have an accurate account of ourselves and be honest with ourselves. Learn how to sit ourselves down. Learn how to, amen, discipline ourselves. Amen. The Bible says that if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. And the problem that we have, and the reason why some of us end up facing judgment, we see it coming forth in the body of Christ today, is because we fail to judge ourselves. We fail to be honest with ourselves. And so we must judge ourselves if we are going to walk in true deliverance, if we're going to really truly be God's vessel. We must judge ourselves. Hallelujah. Amen. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It's in the book of Corinthians tonight. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Amen. We're going to read a couple of verses from there. And we're going to start at verse 14. Okay. Now, we talked about having these inward checkpoints. Amen. Now we also, on top of that, must have the ability to be able to receive from God's, you know, from God ordained drill instructors. We talked about boot camp, we talked about the army, we talked about being a soldier, but you cannot have boot camp without a drill sergeant. And most folks, amen, I remember when my husband was in the army, he didn't really like his drill sergeant because they was always in his face, always saying something. Amen. We're going to start, amen, at verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Amen. Y'all all right tonight?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. All right.
All right, now.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I write not these things to shame you. But as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me.
Amen. Now, look at verse 14. It says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Amen. Now, we talked about, amen, in some of the other verses about maturity, amen, and we talked about, amen, how that you got to have, you know, some inward checkpoints and some things that's on the inside of you, you know, where you do not cross those boundaries and you do not cross those lines, amen. And now Paul is saying, I'm not writing to you to try to be hard on you, to try to be nasty to you. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. Amen. Amen. Likewise, this lesson tonight is not to bash people. It's not to be harsh on people. Amen. But tonight, amen, God is dealing with us as beloved sons to warn us. To warn us. Amen. Verse 15 says, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Amen. No matter where we are in God's plan, we got to be subject and accountable to somebody else. Okay? And really, Paul's problem, the reason why Paul was having to say this to the Corinthian church is because there were so many, they had a lot of instructors that were around them trying to tell them, you know, things and trying to teach them and trying to tell them what to do, but they were boy instructors. And Paul was trying to help them to understand that there's a difference between them little boy instructors that are instructing you and the spirit of a true father, amen, that God had given him to mentor them and to pour into them and to raise them up in God. Okay? And so there's a difference even in the time in which we live. There are many boy instructors, little girl instructors, but not fathers or mothers. In the midst of the church. And that's what we need. Fathers and mothers speak of mature men and women who know their scope and they know their breadth of authority. Amen. And you got a lot of people today who call themselves spiritual parents, mothers and fathers, the people in the Lord. Amen. But they don't have what it takes to father or mother. Amen. You have a lot of those people who are saying this, but they don't take the time to call forth and to raise and train sons and daughters. Amen. Being, amen, a spiritual mother, father, amen, is not just about saying, oh, this is my son in the gospel. This is my daughter in the gospel. But you got to be, amen, if you're not ready, amen, to train and to equip and to raise up sons and daughters, then we should not be calling folks mom and dad in the spirit. Amen. You cannot be, amen, ill-equipped as a parent. Now, let's just think back for some of us who had children and we weren't ready to be parents. What happened to us as ill-equipped parents? We bumbled, amen. We made so many mistakes. We messed up. We didn't teach them the right things because we were ill-prepared for parenthood. Fathers and mothers know the difference between those who are mature and those who are immature. A father and a mother knows how to discern, amen, what's going on with their spiritual children. Amen. And when they discern it, they have the courage to say what's going on. Not just trying to get a gathering and have folks following them. If God is going to raise you up, then you must allow yourself to be fathered and mothered. Amen. And today we call that mentoring. Amen. Some of us call it, you know, being father, being mother. But you got to have, somebody should be pouring back into you. Somebody should be speaking over your life. It's the most frustrating thing is to grow up. Amen. Let's look at how we feel in the natural. For some of us that are disconnected from our families, it's frustrating. Some of our spiritual frustration is because we disconnected from our spiritual family. And so we got to get connected to the right spiritual family, the right father, the right mother, so that they can speak into us the thing that God, amen, will have them to speak into us and to stir us up in order for us to be able to accomplish the will of God. God has aligned spiritual equippers. These mothers and fathers, amen, in the spirit, they are spiritual equippers that help the body of Christ to grow. And to develop into mature sons. That's what God created us to become, mature sons. Amen. Don't nobody want to lay around in diapers and drinking a bottle forever. Come on, there come a time, amen, where you want to grow up, amen. You want to accomplish some things in God. You want to, amen, begin to do the things that God has spoken over your life. Amen. So a father and a mother, amen, knows the difference between those who are mature and those who are immature. Amen. Amen. I want to look at this word, tutor, amen, because scripture talks about tutors, amen, and governors, amen. Even in the scriptures, we see where there were some kings who had some kings who were made kings, amen, but they were still children, amen. And so they had to be given to tutors and governors until they were of age in order for them to be able to walk in the fullness of their call. A tutor is from the Greek word epitropos, and it's derived from two words. Epi means to superimpose or put upon. Tropos means style or character. Governors is from the Greek word oikonomos, which is derived from two words also. The first word is oikiko, which is house, and nomos, which is law. Put simply, tutors are those that the Lord uses to teach a style or character to his trainees. And governors are the drill instructors who govern or lay down the law. Tutors develop character, while governors assign tasks and responsibilities upon the trainees. Amen. In order for us, you know, in order for us to be able to be equipped, in order for this to take place, you must, amen, and we're going to look at this down in the next set of words, amen, and you must be touched by the hands of a mature apostle, a mature prophet, amen, that can train and teach you, amen, and equip you to do the things that God has called you to do. Okay, let's look at 2 Timothy 4 and 1 and 1 Peter 5. Verses 2 and 3. 2 Peter 4 and 1. I mean, excuse me, 2 Timothy 4 and 1. 1 and 2, actually. 2 Timothy.
I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant. In season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine.
Amen. Amen. And so we see here in these first two verses where we know already that Paul trained Timothy, amen, as a young pastor. Timothy was a young pastor, and we know that Paul trained him, amen. And we see that Paul, amen, in these verses, amen, Paul is speaking to Timothy, and he went from training to charging him. Amen. He went from training to charging. He went from tutor to governor. Amen. And so he began to charge him to do a work. Amen. When God has equipped you, when God has finished training you, amen, he will begin to give you a charge. Amen. To send you forth to do what he has called you to do. Amen. You shouldn't spend your whole life, amen, in one place, amen, in training. Amen. You should be going from faith to faith and from glory to glory and from strength to strength. Amen. Amen. So looking at the next set of words, amen, we're going to look at, well, let's read 1 Peter first. 1 Peter 5, 2 and 3.
Be the thought of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock.
Amen. And this is also another example here of that. That spirit of that governor. Here in 1 Peter, we see where Peter is talking about, amen, he's laying down the law. He is telling the church. He's speaking to the elders and giving them a charge. Amen. He's laying the law down. He's explaining to them how they should carry on as leaders. Amen. And in the same way, amen, that this ministry, amen, is amen, by the leading of the Lord, amen, attempting to train up leaders. Amen. So that we can become everything that God has ordained for us to be. Amen. We got to lay down the law as it has already been given through the word of God. Amen. And then there has to be training. That's what this school of prophets is about. It's about training and equipping. Amen. So that you can do what God has told you to do. Amen. And not be crazy. Amen. While you're out here doing what he told you to do. Amen. Well, you're not, your life won't be shabby. You're not saying one thing and living something else. Amen. Amen. Which brings us to the next set of words. Amen. For the word equip. Equip means, amen, it's from the Greek word katarismos. It's from two words, amen, that kata, which means touch, and arismos, which means artisan or craftsman. Amen. In order for us to fulfill the call of God, then our lives must be touched by somebody else, amen, who has been called to equip, amen. And we know that those that have been given the gifts of the fivefold ministry, these gifts have been given to equip the saints, amen. So that means that our life must be touched by these gifts in order for us to accomplish the will of God. The fivefold ministry operates like a master craftsman and has the call and responsibility to help develop us into vessels that are meet for God's use. So if we're going to do what God has called us to do, then we got to allow our lives to be touched by others that are in the fivefold ministry. Amen. If you are a prophet, you should be sitting under some teaching and mentoring of another prophet. Amen. If you are an apostle, you should be sitting under some teaching and mentoring of another apostle. And likewise, the other gifts. Amen. And also, amen, the apostle, amen, and the prophet also have the capacity, amen, to train up other gifts in the house. Amen. And to equip the other gifts that are in the house. But in order for us to allow our lives to be touched by these gifts, we got to submit ourselves. So, amen, as you go through, amen, this weekend and all of next week, remember, amen, what it is that God has called you to do. Amen. Remember, amen, that you are not your own. You belong to God. You've been bought with a price. Remember that you are in boot camp. And the reason for you being here is so that God can teach you and train you and equip you to do what he has called you to do. Don't allow yourself to be moved by other things. Don't allow yourself to be moved by people. Don't allow yourself to be moved by your own feelings and emotions. You have got to submit yourself to the teaching and the training and the tutelage of others in the fivefold ministry so that you can, amen, develop into what God has called you to be. Amen. If you don't have a spiritual mother, a spiritual father, you need to pray that God will send somebody into your life that will be able to pour into you, and not just pour into you, but pull out of you the things, amen, that God has imparted into you. Somebody that can recognize your gifts and callings and anointings. Amen. Somebody that can stir up the things of God that are in you so that you can begin to do what he's called you to do. Amen. That is important. It's a very important part. Amen. It's an important component. Amen. To walking in the gifts of God. Amen. We're not here, amen, to make our own ministries and give ourselves a name. Amen. This is about equipping the saints and God getting the glory out of our lives. And if he is to do that, then that means that we have got to submit ourselves to his training and to the training of those that he has put in our midst so that he can equip us to do what he's called us to do. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Did anybody have any questions or any comments or anything that they wanted to add on tonight? Amen. I did have a couple of announcements, and I know that a couple of people had to get off of the line tonight. But I know those that are, well, I'll wait. Let me see. Who else has some questions? If anybody have any questions or comments or anything, and I'll wait to the end to make my announcements.
I just want to thank God for this lesson. I didn't know it was going to go this way, and I thank God for being on track with the spirit, praise God, because almost verbatim what was being taught tonight is what I was speaking into another young lady who you know, looks up to me, you know, knowing my struggles and knowing how God is in my life. And she's trying to get her life together. And I was telling her everything that you have said, praise God. And I just thank God for the conviction. It built me up, so to speak.
Praise God. Praise God.
I just want to really thank God for that.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, anybody, no one else had anything. Amen. I want us to be able to, we're going to close out with prayer in a moment, but I wanted to give an announcement. Those that were seeking ordination through the ministry, amen, or licensing, amen. Next week's class, we're supposed to be going into accepting the challenge and facing the risk. Next week's class, amen, is going to be taught by our students that are seeking licensing and ordination, amen. They will not be teaching the lesson from the book, but you all will just teach whatever message it is that the Lord has given you. It is still a part of our class, so everybody else is still required to be on the line with the class, because it will be part of our class, amen, time. And then when we come back, that will be our eighth week, because this week is week seven. That will be our eighth week of teaching. And after next week, we go on break from the 20th, and we come on the 20th of December till the 3rd. We come back on the 3rd after the new year. Amen. So we'll be having some announcements and then sharing some other things on next week about what the Lord is saying. Amen. Concerning the upcoming year and things of that nature. You know, if the Lord has spoken to any of you, we want to be able to share those things during next week's class. So we're going to do a lot of prophetic activations next week, and we want to be able to hear from everyone. So be in prayer this week, you know, the rest of this week up until next week, about what it is that the Lord will have for you to share, because I'm going to be asking everyone to share what the Lord is speaking to you about the year that we are about to go into, which we already know that on the Jewish calendar, the year has already changed over in October. But nevertheless, you know, I still want to hear some feedback from you all about what things you feel the Lord speaking to you. Did anybody else have anything? Amen. Well, we thank God for everybody being on the line tonight, for being in class tonight. Amen. And is Missionary Human on the line?
No, ma'am. I don't know what was wrong. I called the house. I didn't get an answer. I don't know what went on.
Okay. Well, nevertheless, it's well. It's well. I want to leave here on the recording also the fact that we need to, those who are behind in your classes and those who are, you know, with your assignments, you know who you are, amen, because you have received emails from me, so please catch up on your work. You have until the end of December to get your work in so that you can receive credit for the work that was done. Amen. I will not accept any works that have not been turned in after the last, or the 31st of this month. Amen. And so you pay for your class, but you need to complete all the assignments if you would like to receive your certificate for the class. Amen. So we have, you know, I think that we covered everything. So those that are seeking licensing and ordination, please don't forget to be prepared next week. To teach on next week. Amen. You'll have 15 minutes
to share what the Lord has given you, and then the rest of the class we will be doing prophetic activations, and I want to hear from you all what things you feel that the Lord is speaking to you about the upcoming year, and what things you're sensing in your spirit, because when we come back, amen, for the next class, it will be 2008, so next week's class will be our last class until January 3rd, 2008, amen. So we're going to close out with prayer, amen. We're going to ask Missionary Shelman if she would close us out in prayer.
Hey, y'all, I'm glad I just was able to get back on. My phone went out.
Did it? Oh, my goodness, Apostle. Sorry about that.
My phone went out and didn't talk to you. I couldn't get it. Like, whatever y'all said the last 15, 20 minutes, I missed. But I go back.
Okay, good. Because it's still on the recording. I didn't stop the recording.
It must have been something my virgin ears didn't need to hear.
Amen. You need to hear it, so go back and listen.
Yes, ma'am.
Go back
I will.
And listen. Amen. Amen.
So thank you.
Amen.
I got booted off last week, and I got booted off again this week. Praise God. So it might be some. T-